Hi everyone, welcome here. This is our interview with Lisa Longo and Lisa Tuneau from Belgium and France. I will be talking about we'll be translating into Italian for my Italian viewers, and then Lisa and Lindsay, as they both have agreed to talk in English for tonight, just for tonight. This is a preview. You will tell to your nephew and your grandchildren that you have a sister to Lisa Longo and Lisa Tuneau speaking in English once in your life. Okay, so that's my talking. That's enough. I will introduce you. So let's talk about you, who you are and what you do.
So hello, I'm Lisa. I'm the founder of Animal Academy, which is a French company for which I go to my clients' homes to help them live in better harmony with their dogs, cats, and parrots. I'm a certified professional dog trainer, and I'm a certified behavior consultant for canine also. Elite feel free professional, family dog mediator, and I'm a tech teacher level one.
Oh, that's great. So, and Lindsay, who are you? What are you doing here?
I'm Lindsay, founder of Loopy, a Belgian company. I support my client mostly for cooperative care and reactivity. I also do follow-up from the idea of adoption to the education of the adopted animal. I'm a certified cooperative care instructor, low-stress handling silver certified professional, elite feel free, and tech teacher level one.
So there is one thing that I love in your work, and that's the cooperative thing. So watching your videos, watching you training your animals, working with your clients, it's just you have this good vibe that something very, very special is going on. And so I want to ask you about your work, why you have decided to take this path, and also if you want me to play the video, just tell me when. So what do you think? What do you want to talk? Do you want to show a video? Do you want to talk about the cooperative current learning?
We can do first the video and then
perfect.
Maybe talking about
okay.
It.
Okay.
Maybe the first one,
The longer one?
Yes, the creativity one, the longer
okay.
One.
Okay. So I've decided not to translate the video.
To train with Luna to participate in her own care, to put drops in the eyes, I needed a device she could be comfortable on, so preferably with a perch. I also needed a clear and unambiguous start button behavior. I also needed her head to remain static and that her head be tilted slightly to have an easy access to her eyes. And I wanted a device that allowed me to be on both sides of her head. So here, as long as she keeps her beak into one hole of the dial, we train, but if she takes her head back, we just stop training.
Inspired by the work of Lisa and Luna, I wanted to teach Grisha to participate in her care and put drops in her nose. We also use similar device with a perch and a hole she can bite as a start button behavior.
In this video, you can see José doing a chin rest as a start button behavior. For this training, I needed a prop exactly adapted to his size, soft and comfortable, so that his chin can rest on it without hurting. So this is a punch shield that can be opened so that you can change the form inside if necessary. The chin support also needed to be slightly offset back from the device so that the chin fits fully. And I wanted it to be something small and easily transportable so that we can train and practice in several different environments very easily.
When I train my humans learner, I need to work on their training mechanics before working with animals to make sure we do not make any mistakes that can be stressful to the dog. In that goal, I regularly use a factor that feels no emotions and that I can control myself. Here, I teach my human learner to return immediately in neutral position when the dog removes his chin from the towel, which means that the dog does not consent to the manipulation anymore.
Even if Luna already cooperates and collaborates for her nails filing by giving me her paw to signify her consent, I wanted to set up a possibly easier training. With this training device, my goal is to be able to file Luna's nails without touching her, without holding her nails, without restraint. I considered two possibilities of consent behaviors for this training. Either Luna puts a paw on the fence to signify her agreement, either she climbs on the fence and grabs the dial at the top to signify she is okay. As she has a very big history of reinforcement on a similar behavior for the drops in the eyes and in the nose, Luna almost directly proposed the targeting behavior by taking the hole in her beak.
Django is already well trained in cooperative care and knows a lot of cares and stat-butted behaviors. The bigger challenge for us is to trim his nails because he hates when I hold his paw in my hand. To make sure I do not hurt him when I trim his nails, I need to have a stable paw that does not move. Inspired by the protective training we can see in Zoo World with wild animals, I started to train him to put his paw on the bar cage. Django was never in a cage before, so to save some time and training, I put myself in the cage so he can be free to go where he wants without any restraint.
This is a brand new behavior I'm training with Rio. I found a PVC pipe, and even if I'm sure this could be useful for several behaviors with parrots, I'm thinking working on a voluntary restraint with it at first. In this video, I try to show Rio how fun this new object could be for both of us.
What could be more cooperative than to teach a dog to file his nails himself? In this video, you can see Django file his nails using the scratch board. Django is very sensitive with the handling of his paws. This training allows us to maintain its nails until we can do more advanced trainings.
Okay, you're right, Becca. I think I never seen something as beautiful as your videos.
Thank you.
No, I'm not kidding. I have two questions from the video, and one is for you, Lisa, and one is for you, Lindsay. So who's gonna go first? Okay, so Lisa, what I love from the part of the video that we are introducing is that there is a lot of I want. You know perfectly what you want even before starting. How this is important in the cooperative training and why?
Actually, it is sometimes important for me because I have a plan and I want a very special behavior at the end, but it's not always the case. Like for the PVC pipe, I didn't know actually at the beginning what I wanted to do with that, but I'm inspired by the pets I'm working with. So I may have a plane A, but it's not always what we will have at the end. So sometimes I want to really have this behavior and I think about the plan to go there with a lot of approximation to go there, but it's not always the case. So okay. Yes, it's important for me because for a very specific behavior, I want to be able to offer the more consent, the more empowerment to my pets. So I need a very, very good plan for the one in front of me. But sometimes I just let it go and I let them be creative, actually.
Right.
They are the one that teach me.
So the participation of the learner, do you want to add something?
Yes.
I read your body language.
So yeah, I have an example for that, actually.
Yes.
I was training my dog to have his nails filed with an electric file. Yeah. And I was absolutely sure about my plan. So the plan I created, and I wanted him to have a chin rest consent behavior, so I can take the paw and filing the nails. And it was not what was the good plan for my dog. So he showed me actually what was the good behavior for him, and I completely changed my plan after that.
Okay.
So I had my plan, but he gave me another one.
And that's, I think, the beauty of the cooperative learning, right? But I will, exactly. we will be back on that. So the participation, which brings me, Lindsay, to the question for you. And you use a lot the word participate in your video. Yes. Why? Yes. Why is it important?
I think it is important because if the dog participates in their care, they can be less stressed, they can be creative, they can be happy, they can find the training fun, you know. It is easier to get to our objective, our goals, with this kind of training that we call coercive one.
Okay. Opening a small parenthesis and say that in human education, most of the time we are taught to do what we are told. So do that because yes, and that's it. Both of you have used another word that struck me, and that's creative.
Yes.
The concern could be, okay, I don't want a creative learner because I want my learner to do what I'm telling him, her to do, and I want to stick with the plan. I don't want things to go around, but maybe it's better to have a creative learner. Okay, let me that's the question for you.
Do you want to go, Lindsay?
Yes. So when the learners can be creative, I think we as a teacher can see how it is more easy to teach them, you know, makes sense. So if my dog want to propose me a behavior that can be put in my training plan to get the goals easier, it is easier for both of us.
I got the example from my school. So my learner loves a lot talking about Spider-Man, or loves a lot talking about all of this character. And depending on the character, I stick with that character for weeks and weeks. So I reinforce his behaviors using that character. So if he wants to draw Peter Pan, I work in a high school, art high school. So drawing is one of our business. And I can ask him, okay, that's fine. We will paint Peter Pan as you want, but we have to use these tools because that's what we require. So it's a win-win situation. So that's back to you, Lisa, about the creativity in your learner.
I would like to say so many things, but I will stick with two only.
Okay.
The first thing is, I think when my learner is more creative, it's more enriching for me to train with him. So it's more fun, and we have so much more possibilities and so much more motivation to train. So this is the first thing. I want my learner to inspire me. I don't want to inspire my learner. I want the reverse. I want them to inspire me and to just show me all the possibilities they can bring in training. So this is the first thing with creativity. The second one is, when they propose a new behavior, it may sometimes seem like it's useless behavior. Like I think about parrots that will say hello with the paw. It may seem useless, this kind of behavior, but it can be really, really useful in cooperative care, like just for checking the paws if there are no pododermatitis, a kind of infection of the paw in parrots. And I had two parrots that bring me the behavior.
That's fine. Hold on, the two parrots. I think you have to trademark your quote. I want the learner to inspire the teacher, not the vice versa. You have to trademark that because it's great for the t-shirt in the summer. I was writing down. See, I wrote it down.
Okay.
Because it's just beautiful. So you were saying about two parrots.
Yes, I had two parrots that came with the behavior of a bat behavior. So with the paw on a perch and the head down, okay? And they had this behavior naturally, just to have fun at the beginning. Mm. And
this is what creativity looks like for me in pets. And okay. I used this behavior to bring a cooperative care to check the chest of the parrot after that. Okay. So I think it's very, the creativity part from the teacher is very important because it allows us to have new ideas and to have different plans for all the pets we have in front of us. But also the creativity from the learner is also important to bring us something new also.
Okay. Why this is important? The things that you have said. So see, I can switch. Why this is important for you, for the learner, for the environment, for
For so many reasons.
Okay.
Two. Vincent, do you want to start?
I see what you're doing. Meanwhile, you take notes, you just throw Lindsay
by your side.
Go, go, go. Yeah.
Why creativity is important, or we do is important?
Everything that you just said is important. Why it's important? So, no, let me rephrase the question. So, let's say, okay, I'm a regular, normal training.
Yes.
And you want to convince me or try to convince me that what are you doing is important. What would be your message for this training?
So most of the time people reach me because they already have difficulties in caring for the animals. Mm-hmm. So the animal is already stressed and can be difficult to care for them. So I think cooperative care and this kind of training is very important for better diagnosis. When you have a stressed dog, for example, you don't want to go at the vet every week or every time the dog sneezes, because you're afraid to stretch your dog, you have afraid of bites, of scratches if you have a cat, and so on. And so it is important for better diagnosis.
Okay, hold on. I like to think about to all you are saying and how this translates in human education, because it's basically the same. So we see so many children that have behavioral problems just for not good training opportunities, right? So you were saying about then I will translate what I said. You were saying about the diagnosis. Sorry for interrupting you.
Yes, the diagnosis. And it is important too for more regular visits, you know, just a vaccine and so on. Some dogs that I train with are not able to have a yearly vaccine because they are too stressed for this kind of vet visits. Okay. And it's very, very important for giving them choice and control over their environment. The more they have control and the less they will be stressed.
Okay. Sorry for forgetting the part, but
and also the this kind of training makes them happier in life, enrich their life. You can do cooperative care like you do agility training. You know, you don't have to have a dog who's stressed by the vet to do cooperative care. You can do cooperative care just because it's fun and because it's prevention and all of that.
Yeah. Now I see why you sent Lindsay before Lisa, because she can talk like for an hour, you are done with the interview and bye-bye.
Actually, it's not for that. It's because what I knew that what she would say will bring me to say something else on the same subject.
Okay.
So on the same subject about diagnosis and medical care, cooperative care can literally save lives. It's not only just for fun, and we should absolutely all do some cooperative care with our pets and children also, because it can save lives. really. Okay. I had a dog, I have a dog, which has been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And for saving his life, he needed to have infusions mm-hmm. 4 times a day with the paw straight like this for 30 minutes.
Wow.
And it's a Czechoslovakian Wolf dog. So if you want to force a Czechoslovakian Wolf dog to have infusions 4 times a day without cooperative care, it's just not possible. So he would have died.
Yeah.
And also to answer the question why we do it like this, one answer can be because we can, actually. We can do like this. It's not anthropomorphism to say that the animal will be more happy if he has the choice and the control over the situation, because we will feel exactly the same for us if we have the choice to say no, not now, or maybe not like this. We are more in control over the situation and then more happy and more relaxed. So it's exactly the same for our pet. It's not anthropomorphism, it's just being empathic.
That's absolutely true. With my learners at school, it's the same thing. I have to give them a control. Otherwise, they won't cooperate. And so it's a tough, especially at the beginning, because you don't know how much you should give. But I think the more you give and you forget about the things you have to do, but you just stick with the cooperative and things are gonna be super fine in no time. We have said how this is important for the learner, basically, right? So we have discussed the diagnosis. You have talked about the life-saving procedure and less stress for the dogs and the pets. So the question is now, and it's for you. So you go ahead now, Lisa. Why this is important for you as a trainer?
It makes me a better trainer, and I think it makes me a better human being also. Okay. Because I learned so much from the pets. I learned so much from my colleagues also. Lindsay and I work on a lot of different cases together, because my work is essentially with pets that will be labeled as reactive, aggressive, or anxious. And Lindsay is more in the part with cooperative care. So we work together. Like, if we have a dog that is human reactive or aggressive with humans, I will have this first part with training the humans and the dog to be more comfortable with humans. Then Lindsay will work with them so that they can train for the muzzle training, consent voluntary with the muzzle.
Wait. Saying sorry for interrupting you, but
otherwise... So we both work together on some case, and we have also a veterinary team that work with us in the same case. So we have 4 parts for each client: 1 part for the reactive, aggressive, anxious behavior, 1 part for the cooperative care behaviors, 1 part which are the clients that work with their pets on a daily basis, and we also have the veterinary team working with all of us.
It's a big team. It's
yes. Good. And it's why it's important for me. And this is what I learned from this big picture of cooperative care. It's learning from the veterinary team, learning from Lindsay, learning from the pets, learning from also the human parts. And this is why it's important for me and what it brings me at the end.
Okay. What about you, Lindsay? Why this is important for you?
Yes, I will say the same as Lisa, but
well, that's fine. You can say the same thing.
I can add the fact that I really deep love animals from always, you know, from I was a child, and being able to help them on a daily basis is really like my dream job, you know. Mm-hmm. And to do that with non-coercive methods, and to do that with amazing people like Lisa, like our vet team, like our client that really care for the animals, is very enriching for me. Is very, I love this.
Okay.
We do not have to touch a learner to train him. I designed this device to train the open beak behavior without having to touch Lola. Lola is a very shy parrot, and this training allows us to check her mouth without making her uncomfortable by touching her.
Marley is a Czechoslovakian bulldog and he really likes to bite. So when he was a puppy, 7 years ago already, we trained so that he grabs a stick. Not only does it serve for checking the gums, but it also has been used as a stop button behavior for other situations like checking all of his body and taking its temperature. Here I train with Rio and I use my right hand as a target for his upper mandible and my left hand as a target for his lower mandible.
I built this device with two hooks, two long screws and some isolation tape. I trained Django, my German Shepherd dog, to open wide his mouth on it so I can check his teeth, tongue, roof of the mouth and so on.
Good.
And you can see another possibility here with a mouth opening from a chin rest.
That's amazing. So, let me explain the video. You have 5 minutes.
I think we can touch the learner if you want it. So I think it's not a problem to touch the learners if the learner accept it and cooperate to it and consent to it. But Luna in this video is a very shy parrot. Lola, I'm sorry, it's the parrot, it's Lisa's parrot, Luna. Lola is the parrot in the video. So she's very shy and a little afraid of being touched by a human. And this was a problem because we do not have as many options. Like Lisa, you see in the video, Lisa with double target, you know, target in the one
the beak.
Hand, yes, and the other.
Oh, yeah.
And it's complicated for Lola because she's afraid of being touched.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to this? Lisa, yes. then I will add my idea about this and I will share with you. But
to talk about Lola, this bird, she is very shy of hand, and we need to be creative to make her have the behavior we want her to have. But she knows a lot of cooperative chaos behaviors. Lot. So she can have her nails filed. She can take medicines in a syringe. She can open the beak so we can see the koanas, papillas inside. She knows a lot of different behaviors. She knows how to show the pose, also a lot of different things, even if we cannot touch her.
Okay. Thinking about the touch, so I think it's easy to see the touch for the animal, because I can tie the animal, I can close the mouth, I can do a lot of things to the animal, which I cannot do to a human learner. I think that with the human learners, we have many other tools to really, really touch the learners in ways that are not appropriate for them, right? And I think that we are missing, us as human educators, we are missing a lot of opportunities by observing what you are doing.
Definitely, and we are missing also using all the environment as a tool for creativity.
Right, that will be. Let me translate, and we go back to this concept. I forgot what I was asking to you. That's the second. The environment. Yes, thank you. That's why I had both of you, because one was it worked like my secretary. The environment. Why the environment? Okay, let me tell you this. In human education, the environment is the most underestimated thing that we have. We don't care about the environment.
But it's
why the environment, taking care of the environment, it's important. You have 1 minute each, and then we will take a few questions, and then we are done. Why is it important?
Because it promotes success. because we can arrange all the antecedent, all the environment to promote success and to promote the behavior we are looking for. So yeah. We can use absolutely all the environment to promote success.
Okay.
Yes, I will say the same as Lisa, but I will add that something. So we can arrange the environment in different ways. One way is to decrease the distraction, you know.
Okay.
In the environment. So if I want to learn to teach my dog to come when I call him, it is easier to begin in my home where there is no cats, there is no squirrels, there is no car, and so on. And make success, and add more distract environment later.
Yes.
Okay.
Adding that the same should be done for the humans, right?
Yes, I think. And
I think I told you, yes. We have to do that. Yes.
And I wanted to say something else, but I forgot.
I made a mess. Okay, don't worry.
Maybe I use something in the environment, so the second part of it, like my dog's bed, if I want him to be comfortable with, I don't know, like a heels check or something like that, something in already new, is already comfortable with, you know, in the environment, so it makes success.
We are done. It's time. So first of all, thank you very much.
Thank you, it
was such a pleasure, and I apologize for if I forget something, but it was so intense in looking and listening to you that I forgot what the job that I was supposed to do. Second, if there is any questions in the chat, and thank you also for the videos, and I will translate what I'm saying.